Ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll still continue there, and I will try to go off the best that I can remember how to do this. Been a fun weekend. I lost my phone yesterday, but I found it in about 2 feet of water in the Anishinaabotna River. So my phone is completely dead. So if you guys need to get a hold of me, if you got Chris's number, go ahead and give her a call. She'll take a message for you. But hopefully I can get that back going today. So isn't technology good? I kind of panicked. I was like, oh no, I can't find nothing. And it just, man, it happens. Well, let's have a word of prayer. And we're going to read the first 10 verses again. And we'll go from there. Lord, again, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you that we're able to share in some testimonies this morning about witnessing. And God, I just pray this morning as we go through your word, we know that everything that happens is for a particular reason. And so God, I pray that as I'm kind of panicking right now, I know that you're in control, and that's all that matters. We know that you'll bless during this time of reading your word, and we pray that you would help us to come to a better understanding of it. And we ask you these things, your name, amen. Don't forget to be in prayer for what took place yesterday. We had a lot of great contacts. People are very friendly coming to the door this time around. Normally it's not that way. And Chris and Carrie, they actually ended up talking to a lady for about 45 minutes yesterday. They didn't get very far in their journey, but they had a great call there, and hopefully the person that they spoke with yesterday will be here this morning. Hopefully everybody that we spoke with yesterday. And just some exciting times to be able to spread the gospel. Well, let's go ahead and begin reading in chapter number 1 of 2 Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse number 8 is the verse that we're going to deal with this morning. As I left off with it last week, giving you just a brief example of kind of what I went through as a young person, we'll reiterate that again this morning. But verse number 8, we're going to park here. It says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There's three things that we're going to look at this morning. One is not being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. We're going to dive into that just a little bit as everything begins to come back to my mind. Then we're going to dive into the second part of that, and that's dealing with Paul, not to be ashamed of Paul, and we're going to dive into that. And then Paul is going to invite Timothy into his afflictions that he has gone through in his life. And so we'll go through those as time permits. Somebody please be my clock keeper, because normally I have a clock on my tablet. I'm able to tell time. So when it gets to about 10:43, raise your hand. If I don't see your hand, do this. Or if I don't see that, just get up and walk out. Then I'll know we're done. So everybody's walking out now. No, I'm just kidding. So we're going to deal with those three things this morning. But I want to go back to what I was talking about last week as I gave a little bit of an illustration. Growing up as a preacher's kid, and I know the rest of my brothers and sisters felt this way as well, but we didn't know that at the time until later on in life. As we got older, we began to discuss some things, and we kind of felt the same way about things. I can remember many different occasions, and I wish that I didn't feel this way, and I'll be honest with you, I stand here this morning being ashamed feeling this way, but being ashamed of the position that my father had in life. I can remember so many times going into work as a young person, people would ask, what's your mom and dad do? And there were times where I kept that to myself. I didn't want them to know that he was a preacher of the Word of God. I didn't want them to know that he also had a school, was a principal there, and I was a part of the Christian education system. And I tried to steer away from that as much as I could. Little did I know that my parents wanted the best for me. And wanting the best for me, let me explain this just a little bit deeper. They wanted to do the will of God. And so in doing the will of God, my dad accepted a call in his life to go out and to start a church, to give the gospel to the community that God had allowed him to be raised in. And he came back and he was faithful in those things. But as he was faithful in those things, there was a part of me that wasn't happy with what was going on as a young person. And I had a hard time separating a lot of things in life. I had a hard time separating that he was my pastor, my spiritual authority. Then I had a hard time separating the fact that he was my principal, which led me to one of my rebellious states in life. I told you of a story of a few weeks ago when I finally experienced what I realized, the mercy for the first time in my life that my father portrayed upon me as I walked out these doors years ago running away from his punishment. And he's waiting for me to come back with open arms, and he just showed mercy to me. So I had a hard time separating those things because it was difficult for me because I just wanted a dad. And I think some of you folks can understand that. But at the same time, I would never tell people what his occupation was. Why? Because I was ashamed of the fact that he was a man of God. When in reality, I should have never been ashamed of the calling that he had had in his life because he was doing the will of God. He was willing to go out and begin to start a church in his own house in Omaha, to later on develop that church and to be able to put it into the storefront on 33rd and Avenue A, and then to come back here to our current location to start up over in the old auditorium that we're at. A lot of you folks have probably never been up there. But we fit up in there like a bunch of sardines, and then to be able to come here. And I say this for a reason. There's absolutely nothing for me to be ashamed of the calling that God put upon my father's life. Because his calling was to make people's lives better. His calling was to give the gospel to a world that needed it. And when I say world, I mean Council Bluffs, Iowa. And so he did that for so many years. And now I'm able to stand before you this morning as a grown man and to be able to relish in the fact that I had a dad who loved the Lord as a Savior. I had a dad who had a great desire to give the message to this community. And that is something for me to be proud of. And I thank God for that. I'm able to do that now in my life. But now as we continue to go back into the story, we see Paul really in trying to be an encouragement in the life of Timothy at this point in time. And let me explain why Timothy needs to have some encouragement. And I'm not here to say, woe is me, or woe is another pastor or another preacher at a church. I'm not here to say that. But pastors need encouragement in their life. Why is that? Well, because they go through probably more difficulty than the average person could even imagine. And so there's a lot of times where a pastor will become discouraged and will be disappointed and might even feel a little depressed at times. And so here is Paul coming along, who has invested his time into Timothy, wanting to be an encouragement. And so as he's doing this for young Timothy, we come upon this verse. In verse number 8, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of" who? "Our Lord." I like how Paul put that in there, "of our Lord." I say this for a reason. As we went out yesterday, we had a good group of people. And let me say this. I know that everybody cannot come. I understand those things. But I'm thankful for the ones who could not come who took time to pray. Because that meant so much. Because I'll be honest with you, we feel those prayers. But we're out there yesterday doing what? Representing not my Lord, but our Lord. And because of that, that gave us great boldness to be able to knock on the doors and talk of the name of Jesus. I say this for a reason. There are times where I go out there and I go to visitation. I'm going to be honest with you folks. There are times where that thought comes into my mind where I become ashamed or I become embarrassed. But yesterday was a different feeling. I was able to go up and begin to knock on the doors with great authority. I wasn't going to the doors and doing this number. Oh, nobody's home, got to go. You know, that's the mentality that we normally have. But I was able, and Gary is with me as well, and he was able to do this. We're knocking with authority, going from house to house, and we do it with authority for this reason, because we're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And Paul did not want Timothy to be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, why would Paul say that first of all? Because Christ was crucified. Christ was crucified. Christ took the beating upon his life for you and me, and he did not want Timothy to be ashamed of that. He also didn't want Timothy to be ashamed of the fact that the Lord was his personal Savior. But so often we become embarrassed of our position in life, and we don't stand out and we don't stand up for the things that we believe in. We don't have a right to walk around in our community, in our workplaces, wherever we go. We don't have the right to be ashamed. Matter of fact, we have the right to be proud of the fact that we serve a God who gave us his Son, that walked away from his heavenly kingdom. We ought to be proud of the fact that his Son began to walk on this world and begin to face the very same temptations that you and I faced. Think about that for a second. The things that we face for temptation, Jesus faced it. But you know what separates us from Jesus? Jesus didn't give in to those temptations. Unfortunately, we do. I'm going to stop right here because this brings up a very great place for me to bring this in. I have been brought to the attention of a man by the name of Tom White. Tom White is a false preacher. And he had a sermon here this week that I actually listened to. Kurt, have you ever heard of Tom White? Let me just give you his description just a little bit. He's got long braided hair all the way down to his hind end. He's a muscular dude, probably got about 24-inch arms on him. He'll go up to the pulpit in his little tank top and show off his little muscles to the crowd, and he'll stand there in front of shorts. He began to preach a message this week, and it really made me mad. He said this, he said, Jesus Christ became sin. And he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. Jesus did take our sins upon him, did he not? But Jesus did not give in to sin. He did not give in to temptation. But he goes on, he says, when Jesus got on the cross and became sin, he says some things that really baffled me. He says, Jesus Christ became a child molester. He said, not only did Jesus, when he got on the cross, became a child molester, but Jesus Christ became a man addicted to pornography. He goes on and begins to preach some more. He says, not only did Jesus become a man addicted to pornography and a child molester, but he was an alcoholic as well. He was sin. No, there's a difference. He was tempted, but Jesus did not give in. We serve a Lord who was tempted just like we were, but he never gave in to that temptation. We ought to be proud of the fact that we're able to say that we serve a God who is perfect. We ought to be proud of the fact that he took the sin upon him, but he did no sin. You see, Paul wanted to be an encouragement to Timothy in his life. Hey, Timothy, you have no reason to be ashamed of your Lord and Savior. You have no reason to be ashamed that he became a crucified king. You have no reason to be ashamed that he stood before a crowd and began to be mocked by each other. And you don't need to be ashamed of that. You don't need to be ashamed that they begin to pluck his beard out. Timothy, you need to be encouraged that he went through that for you and for me so that you can stand in a place that you're standing now in and give the gospel to the world that needs Jesus Christ. That's kind of what Paul was doing at this point in time in his life. See, you and I, we have no reason to be ashamed. I had no reason to be ashamed of my father's position in life. None whatsoever. But unfortunately, we get to that position in life. And we become ashamed of what God has done in our life. We ought to be excited. We ought to be excited. I remember talking to Kurt a few months ago, and I was trying to get some pointers on visitation because I know he's been involved with this for many years, and I know of his success. And he was telling me one particular guy that he goes with always puts in there his testimony. We ought to be proud of our testimony. We ought to be proud of the fact that God brought us out of the gutter and brought us into a life that we no longer need to be ashamed of, but proud of and profess his name. If you agree with that, you should say amen. Because we have too many people walking around who are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Do not be ashamed, Timothy. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now he begins to shift gears just a little bit. I appreciate the fact that Paul pointed out Christ first. And the reason he did this because Christ is more important than Paul himself. Christ is above everything. And Paul addresses him first, realizing that he is underneath Christ. But now he goes on, he says, nor of me his what? His prisoner. I wish I had my notes right in front of me because I had to explain very well. But unfortunately, I can't remember exactly what I said. But Paul did not consider himself to be held captive by Jesus Christ. Paul also spent a majority of his time in prison as well. Remember the lifestyle that Paul had? Paul was, think about this, he was imprisoned by bringing persecution to the believer. Christ set him free of that on the road to Damascus. Paul was no longer a prisoner of persecuting believers, but now Christ has transformed his life, and Paul considered himself to be a prisoner of God. Say, hey man, God, my life's in your hands. You're going to do with me what you see fit. But at the same time, as Paul began to develop a relationship with God, it began to grow on a daily basis. He began to go out into those communities that we are called to go to. And he began to give the gospel that you and I are called to give the gospel to. He began to preach Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was being preached, what took place? souls were being changed. Well, why is that a big deal? Well, it's a big deal because, one, they're no longer bound to hell. They're bound to eternity with God. So you see that change take place because of the promise of Scripture. But as your life is changed, as Christ comes in your life, as he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, there's another change. And that's a change of attitude. Instead of being depressed, moody, a complainative person, their attitude was changed. By the way, I see that sometimes in churches. I'm thinking to myself, are they really saved? Why do you say that? Because there should be joy on their face. There should be joy in the things that they do. But attitudes were changed. Demeanors were changed. The way people begin to interact with other people begin to change. And the higher-ups seen this, and they did not like this. They did not like Paul coming into their cities and preaching the gospel. So every time that Paul would come in, they would begin to seek where he was at. By the way, when you're over in these cities, they're not that big. It's not that hard to find Paul. And I'm serious. They're not that big. We got in our mindset, well, they had 70, 80,000 people in this city. No, that's not the case. You can walk through some of those cities within seconds. That's how small they are. But they sought to put Paul in prison. Paul's saying, hey, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me either. I serve the same God that you serve. And even though I serve the same God, there are going to be times where people are going to be after me, Timothy, and they might even come after you. But Timothy, I want you to be thrilled of the fact that God's on our side. I seen a hand go up. Am I close? Okay. So Timothy is getting these instructions from Paul. Paul's trying to be in help to him. But who in their right mind, think about this, Tom, who in their right mind would be thrilled about knowing of a man that you looked up to that preaches the gospel is in prison? You know, I've known many young people who said, my dad's in prison. You know what they say after they say that? Or you know what they do? They hang their head in shame. Because they're not thrilled that they got to even mention the fact that their father's in prison. But Paul spent a majority of his ministry in prison. But even though he was in prison, he was still productive. He was still working for God. He was still being an encouragement. He wrote letters. And Paul's saying to Timothy, hey, even though I spend some time in prison, Paul or Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. I'm doing God's work. This is part of God's will in my life. So I don't want you to hang your head down, and I don't want you to feel defeated, and I don't want you to walk around and say, oh, man, Paul's really not the example that he should be. No, Paul was the example. Paul was doing God's work, and sometimes when we're doing God's work, people aren't going to be happy, and they're going to seek to do something to you. For example, you can go door knocking. People are not always thrilled with believers showing up at their door. You know what some of their reaction is a majority of the time? Well, I'm going to show them. Slam the door right in their face. Even though the door gets slammed in our face, we don't hang our head down and say, man, I'm ashamed that we're a Christian because now the door is just slamming our face. This is how they look at me. This is how they perceive me. They're going to see me out in our community at the grocery store, the gas station, and now I'm just ashamed. No, that gives us more of a reason to be proud of where we came from. Be proud of where you come from. So as we continue to go on here, it says, let me back up to verse number 7. Because Paul's saying here, verse number 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of a prisoner. Verse number 7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of what? Fear. Fear puts us in a category of being ashamed. I know that for a fact. Why was I ashamed of my father? Because of fear of what people would think of me. Because of fear of not being accepted by other kids of my age. Fear allowed me to do that. Little did I know, I had a text this week saying this, "Chad, I envied your position in life because your father was a pastor." And then begin to go on and tell me the difficulties that they were brought up in. Kind of put into a different perspective for me. And it even brought me to a better place of saying, man, I'm now more proud of where I've come from. So fear allows us to do those things. Okay, let's go back in verse number 8. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." We need to be proud of the fact where we come from, proud of the fact that he died for our sins, proud of the fact that he took the beating upon his life for us. Go on, it says, "Nor of me his prisoner." There's going to be some difficult times in the life of a believer. And because of the stance that you might have to take in life, you might have to face some time in jail. And I have, old enough now, I can still remember a few men that back in the day, their stand for Christ, they went to jail. I'll never forget that. But it goes on. Now we're going to see an invitation given to Timothy from Paul. It says, "But be thou partaker of the afflictions." Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? Hey, Charlie, I'm going to head off to jail this week because I stood up for the Lord. I gave the gospel tract to a house that said no soliciting, but I didn't care. I went on there, I knocked on the door, gave him the gospel tract, and I'm going to do some jail time. You come with me. Is there any shame in that? I want you to share in my afflictions. That's what Paul's inviting Timothy to do. Now, as soon as I said that, I saw some of your faces. I'm not going to jail with you, Chad. You can go by yourself. Nan-nan-a-boo-boo, you don't even have a cell phone to call us to get out of jail now. I don't even know how to operate a regular phone. But he wants him to share in those afflictions. Because he knows of the Christ who has and will deliver him from those afflictions. It's good to go through those things for the glory of God. Thousands, if not millions of people to this day have been saved because of the preaching of Paul. We read about thousands, but the Bible's still ongoing. From the Word of God, Paul's teachings are still going out. Lives are still being changed. Men are still being called into the ministry. Women are still being called to teach and play the piano and even be pastors' wives and missionaries' wives. That's still ongoing. And you know what Paul's asking us to do right now? He's saying this. He's saying, Open Door Baptist Church, don't be ashamed of Christ. Stand up for him. Proclaim his name. You know, we know more about our football teams and basketball teams and volleyball teams in our state than we do about the Word of God. We ought to invest more of our time in the Word of God than in those silly programs, to be honest with you. Stand up for them. Don't be ashamed. And at the same time, how about you partake in my afflictions? Be willing to go through those trials. Be willing to go through those persecutions that might come your way. By the way, we think of persecutions. Well, I was just made fun of the other day for knocking on the door. That's nothing compared to Christ went through, and that's nothing compared to what Paul went through. We have yet to been taken out of the city to be stoned to death. We have yet to be taken into the city and to be crucified. We've yet to be taken into the city and have our hair pulled and our beard pulled, whatever, a whip coming at our side. That's persecution. But there may come a day, folks. There may come a day where that might come on your life. And when and if that day comes, do not be ashamed of who you believe in. Do not be ashamed of who you believe in. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is something that you did probably years ago in your life, and that's something that we all need to be proud of, because it's been life-changing. It's nothing to hang our head down. It's nothing for us to walk around and act all defeated. It's something that we ought to hang our head high and proclaim His name. You know, I've started doing something this past year. I've never really liked to wear shirts that have logos on them that pertains to godly things. But now I've recently, every shirt that I have, if it doesn't have it on there now, it's getting put on there. On the back of my shirt, it's forgiven. I have it on my truck in my back window. You know what that's done? That's opened up a lot of conversations. A year and a half ago, I wouldn't have done it. Why? Because I wasn't proud where I came from. I'm just like you folks. I go through the emotions. I go through the doubts. I go through the insecurities. But I no longer need to do that, because I have a God who's on my side, and I'm happy to serve Him. I'm happy to serve Him. I have a shirt, another shirt I wore yesterday. It says, "Let God." People are like, "What do you want to let God for?" Let God take control of my life. It's a door-opening conversation to people. "Well, what are you forgiven from?" Well, let me tell you. It opens the door. And now we have several folks from our church who go to the gym that are wearing our church apparel. I'm going to call it swag. For his younger generation, it sounds cooler. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Don't be ashamed of Him. Be proud. Hold your head high. Be encouraged. You're not the only one. Well, for some reason, God saw fit to take those notes away from me. And I'm thankful for that, because it's allowed me to be more open to the gospel and to this calling, and to allow Him to work in my life even more. So I'm thankful for technology, but I'm more thankful for the Holy Spirit to get me to be able to still give you the gospel, because I have the Word of God. Amen? Let's bow ourselves in a word of prayer. I know it's probably early. I don't have a clock. Nobody raised their hand yet or walked out of me, so we'll have some good time of fellowship. Lord, we are grateful today that we're able to serve You. Lord, I just want to say publicly, and I know there's people out there in our YouTube land, and I know many people watch those things. I know many people look at our webpage and listen to the previous sermons. God, I pray, and I thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. I thank You, Lord, for not allowing me to continue to go down a path that was taking me away from You. Lord, I know the doubts are going to come into my mind probably sometime today or even sometime this week. But God, as those doubts come in, I pray that You quickly take them away, so that I can be proud of the fact that I'm a child of the King. We thank You this morning for allowing us to meet together. We pray that You be with us in the next hour to come. And we ask You these things in Your name. Amen.